Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Show the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humor, you will go friggin' nuts, particularly if you actually happen to be doing something about the things that are very, very nasty and horrific and very scary and whatnot, because they're all over the place, under every rock, inside every sock, clutching every shoehorn. And every single orifice that you could ever imagine has already been penetrated, perpetrated, or exploded from some description of evil mechanical scumbaggery. So, if you want to live in a world that no longer wishes to live like that, that instead wishes to value each other, you know, just like, hey bro, you're my mate, you know, let's, how about I not steal from you? And how about I not bash your head in for absolutely no reason? How about I just don't commit genocide against your people? And how about you just don't do that to me either? That sounds pretty nice, eh? A relationship that's not based on genocide? How dare ye? What a scumbag I am. And that's what happens, man. You know, truth is, we'll tell people, look, don't go out and take part in the system. Make something different. Resist it. Make something that's better. Something that makes the existing system obsolete. Like broadcasting platforms and stuff like that, which are popping up all over the place, are sucking the mainstream media's revenue streams dry, because believe it or not, when you advertise on conspiracy-based radio, you actually get a bit more of a return per capita than mainstream media, because you've got an active listenership, people who actually care. Isn't that interesting? When people who care accomplish a heck of a lot more than people who have no idea and don't really give a flying frack. Anyway, today we have a very sensational Mr. Fabulous type guest named three times, thrice because he's so nice. Sean David Morton, welcome to the program.
Hey, wow, man. You go, boy. I'm just loving listening to you rock and roll down there in Australia. How you been?
Well, I've been really good here in New Zealand.
New Zealand, I'm so sorry.
You'd be forgiven.
Be an idiot. I'm sorry.
You can be forgiven for that mistake, because technically New Zealand doesn't have a constitution, and in the Australian constitution it says New Zealand's a state of Australia. So technically you're correct. I am in Australia.
Well, there you go. Well, since we all still belong to the Queen of England anyway, and there you are. And if they ask the queen for her ID, does she just pull out money? Is that what it is? It's, well, whatever. Anyway, so what's up, man? What's on your mind? What do you guys want to talk about today?
Well, I wanted to talk about you and kind of who you are and what you do, because I've been raving to people. Oh my God, I've got Sean David Warden. He's so funny. He's so fabulous. He's got books and all this kind of stuff. They don't know who you are. So I figured who would be better to explain who Sean David Warden is than the man himself.
Oh, Vincent, I hate this part. Can't we talk about? What do I? I just.
Who cares?
I know. Who cares?
Website and allow them to discover for themselves.
Yeah, it was just crazy. I don't know. I've you know, my focus has been recently on. I've got three books out there. Black Seraph, which is kind of a you know, what I try to do is I try to take. I mean, the gist and the purpose of my life, as I've noticed very much the vector of your existence as well, is to try to take somewhat unpalpable information, if you will, palpable information that people have a difficult time to digest, if you will, and try to take it and put the pill in the cookie dough so the dog will eat it, so to speak. So it's one of those things where, you know, I've tried to take the truth of all the things that I've known and try to present them in an entertaining format, and whether or not that's been working for programs like Sightings, Geraldo. I had a program on UPN called Strange Universe that lasted about 3 years or so when I was working at Hard Copy. You know, we got away with a lot of stuff because the primary point is that whenever you're trying to get anything that's really the truth, or and I don't even want to call it conspiracy theory anymore, because I've pointed out over and over and over again that the conspiracy theorists are always right. And I've taken some heat for that, and yet as the years unfold, I think something like 20 of the top news stories of the last 2 or 3 years were all originally considered, including everything from the rise in the price of gold, the rise in the price of silver, the financial system beginning to collapse, you know, Ben Bernanke printing money like crazy, you know, all the things that we consider now mainstream news and media were all things that were, in essence, considered conspiracy theories. Are these our commercials coming up? conspiracy theories some time ago. So it takes us, Vincent, you and I, just a little longer, because we're dealing with sources that are obviously, number one, well, they're not outside the mainstream. They're in the heart of the beast, the belly of the beast, so to speak. And there are very serious repercussions for them telling the truth. And the one thing that I've noticed from being involved in everything from the military-industrial complex, which is very much linked to the entertainment-industrial complex, is that, you know, number one, everything that you know is wrong. I mean, the sooner you get to that point where you realize that everything that you know is wrong, and that no matter where you start to poke at the spider web, whether or not it's in alternative foods or genetically modified agriculture or you know, UFOs or anti-gravity technology or cold fusion or the Kennedy assassination or whatever, you see the same spider at the center, and the same spider is a corporatocracy that exists primarily to oppress humanity, to wipe out human rights, and basically in a lot of different ways. And I hate to sound socialistic about this, and in a lot of different ways to basically crush any sort of human dignity in exchange for a few people at the top making as much money as possible. So, again, the whole point of what I've done, you know, throughout most of my existence, from, you know, graduating from going to Stanford and then going to USC and then you know, working for, I mean, knowing people like Gene Roddenberry in the early 80s and then doing, you know, music videos for bands like
Who's Gene Roddenberry?
Oh, Gene Roddenberry was a good friend of mine. He was the creator of Star Trek. Star Trek Next Generations.
Because I've got a fascination with sci-fi to a large degree. And I was looking at some of this, like, 1988 sci-fis and things like that. And even like Total Recall with Arnold Schwarzenegger, how they've got the naked body scanner machines as he goes into the subway, how they've got video conferencing calling and stuff like that. And I was thinking, oh my God, I have better technology in my house than they had on the set of Total Recall like 20 years ago or something like that. They really are just showing us all the things that are about to appear.
Well, and that's been the great thing about science fiction is that, and let me present a theory to you. Some of the great science fiction writers of all time have also been, and I will point out, let me pick three of what I consider probably the greatest science, not only science fiction writers, but greatest writers, I think, in English literature, have been Jules Verne, H.G. Wells, and arguably, even though he really wrote one seminal book, Eric Blair, also known as George Orwell, who wrote 1984. All three of them, interestingly enough, have been or were Fabian socialists and Rhodes scholars, and you know Cecil Rhodes, this whole Fabian socialist. You know, they were New World Order guys. They were the Bilderbergers of their day, so to speak. So the question really becomes, and even if you go back to Da Vinci, let's say all the way back then, where Da Vinci may have been not only inventing some of the things that were going on, but you know, let us say that there's been a cabal of you know, this morning of the magicians concept, that there's been a cabal of scientists and thinkers and politicos or what have you that have never really lost the technological advance over the course of 500 years. And if you really think of that, if you think in terms of Da Vinci back in the 16th century, putting together basically the prototype for the submarine, the helicopter, airplanes, various types of designs for hang gliders. Of all the things that he put the designs together for, we're just assuming that that was just all lost and it was never really developed. I mean, theoretically, you could actually put a postulate together that had the Crusades not happened, had the Muslim Golden Age of when they ruled the Caliphate from Cordoba, Spain, and this is kind of what my book Dark Prophet is about as well. That had they continued their whole peaceful evolution through there was a second book that was written supposedly by Muhammad that was actually transcribed by one of his four wives, Aisha, I think is who it was. And it was called the Alienation of the Rose, also known as the Book of Truth. And this basically said all the people of the book, that the Jews and the Christians and the Muslims should all get together because they all worship the same God, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, in the 9th century, Cordoba, Spain had gaslit streets and hot and cold running water and very advanced medicine. And there is an argument to be made that had the Crusades not happened and had the Catholic Church not decided that they were going to basically pick a fight with Islam, that the Arabs would have put a man on the moon sometime, I would say probably about the 1850s or 60s or so. So every single time we've begun to advance, and I put this to you now, for what's about ready to happen in 2012, every single time there is a mass ascension of humanity, every single time there is a great, powerful flux of spirits and soul and might and will and imagination towards the good, suddenly they put a guy in front of it like Hitler. They put a person in front of it like Mao. They put a person in front of it like, you know, Stalin or, you know, pick a communist leader, whatever. But you're seeing what's happening now. Everything that's about ready to happen in the next 6 months, Vincent, everything that's happening is a very specifically planned financial collapse that you can trace back to not only September 11th of 2001, but a more important date was September 11th of 2008. Because on September 11th of 2008, between 9 a.m. and 11 a.m., just to show you again who was behind it, just to kind of brag, you know, just so Jack the Ripper can kind of put his mark on the whole crime, if you will. There were two agents. Many people believe that they were actually Israeli or Mossad spies that were actually functioning through the CIA that, in essence, used something called the Promise 2 software to spike the financial systems of the planet and steal about $3.5 trillion, which disappeared between 9 a.m. and 11 a.m., on September 11th of 2008. Now, we didn't really notice as things began to collapse. The only thing that stopped them from stealing somewhere to the tune of about $7 trillion, which would have ended Western civilization as we know it, is that there were safeguards and stopgaps built into the systems that if there were free falls in certain cases, that the systems would then be basically just shut down, which is in essence what happened. So they only got away with about $3.5 trillion when they spiked it. So this whole economic collapse that they're looking at, everything that they're engineering now is to basically put the world on its knees to say, okay, 2012 is coming. okay, there's an ascension in humanity. Okay, there's a great time of vast spirit and an empowerment of the soul. Well, okay, how'd you like to do it without a house? How'd you like to do it without a car? How'd you like to do it without being able to go from place to place because gas is $5 or $6 a gallon? So all of these economic hardships are being placed upon us. Specifically, I think, to say, you know, okay, if you don't have enough food to eat, it's, you know, it's pretty hard to be cosmic and meditate, you know, and go crawl inside your navel on a stream in the Himalayas or someplace if you don't have, you know, if you can't eat, if you don't have a house, if you don't have a job. And I think it's all being geared and engineered. And I think Obama, Barack Obama, I mean, there's a reason why he's
on. How many end-of-the-world movies or dystopian era-type crap in the future movies have there been just in the last, like, 5 years alone? I could count probably hundreds that I've seen, let alone all the other ones. You know, pick your apocalypse. Zombie apocalypse, asteroid apocalypse, massive 2012 Earth changes through reflected off the sun, burning everybody off the face of the Earth apocalypse. There's been every kind of apocalypse that could ever be conceived of, pretty much put into film, just within the last couple of years kind of thing, in the lead up to 2012, or at least that's what I've seen happening. And I think that could quite conceivably be something that they're looking towards, you know. The 2012 thing is it's basically like one of these three things. It's either A, real, yep, you're screwed. Nothing you can do about it anyway. Two, it's a fake perpetrated by the New World Order to get everybody to stand down and do absolutely nothing. Or three, it's what most of the prophecies that have talked about 2012 would be, that there'd be some kind of golden age or consciousness shift in humanity, and we'd all basically be able to sort out stuff and get along and merrily dance around the campfire singing Kumbaya and what have you. I like that, but I'm not sure if it's exactly what's going to happen. And I do know throughout history, those who rely on prophecy to save them and those who actually make the prophecies happen themselves, they end up around about the same way, because every time they've tried to prevent prophecies from happening, like in Rome or whatever, they had this book of prophecy that said there was going to be a big grain shortage. So they got all the grain, put it all in one place, put it under armed guard, and all the grain rotted and they starved anyway. So the very measures that you take to prevent your own demise will be the very measures that would have been required in order to make yourself be in a demise. So I'm not sure what the future holds, but I guess we'll find out after the break with Sean David Morton from Strange Universe Radio. Back in a minute at the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. Divided we fall. Unity,
please don't desert me. In 2010, millions of people were awakened to the question of what. Now the next question that remains to be answered is, why in the world are they spraying an investigative look into one of the many agendas associated with chemtrail geoengineering programs, weather control? Why in the world are they spraying? Premiering and streaming live August 18th at the three-day event, Consciousness Beyond Chemtrails Conference and Fundraiser in Los Angeles. For more info, go to www.cbclive2012.com. Why in the world are they spraying? Order your copy today at www.whyintheworldaretheyspraying.com. Watch the premiere live August 18th at the three-day event, Consciousness Beyond Chemtrails Conference and Fundraiser in Los Angeles. For more info, go to www.cbclive2012.com. Why in the world are they spraying?
And if you control the weather, you're going to control the planet. It's that simple.
Are you completely fed up with being dependent on those fat cat electricity monopolies that raise your rates again and again? Are you terrified about how you'll keep your home and family safe when a power crisis happens? 123/power.com has set up a free video presentation that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they are, incompetent lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up, and you'll be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. The video at 123/power.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret to slash your power bill and beat the electricity monopoly for good. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123/power.com and discover one weird trick to cut your power bill and protect your home. Easy to remember, 123/power.com. Go watch the video now before they shut it down. Again, that's 123/power.com.
I have this feeling, man, because you know there's the handful of people actually run everything. That's true. It's provable. Handful, very small elite run and own these corporations, which include the mainstream media. I have this feeling who's ever elected president, like Clinton was, no matter what your promises you promise on the campaign trail, blah, 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 when you win, you go into this smoky room with the 12 industrialist capitalist scum who got you in there, and you're in this smoky room, and this little film screen comes down, and a big guy in a cigar, roll the film, and it's a shot of a Kennedy assassination from an angle you've never seen before. That looks suspiciously off the grassy knoll. And then the film, the screen goes up, and the lights come up, and they go to the new president. Any questions? Just what my agenda is. First we bomb Baghdad. You got it.
Critics and fans alike are calling the latest book by Sean David Morton, Sands of Time, amazing. Five stars. A soaring adventure. Better than anything by Dan Brown and James Patterson by far. A sweeping, epic masterpiece. Incredible true story of Dr. Ted Humphrey and his involvement with Area 51, the Dulce Wars, the Montauk Project, and his meteoric rise to become head of an all-powerful shadow government engaged in a desperate, above-top-secret race against time to save the world. Sands of Time is truly remarkable, a rare and precious look behind the curtain of New World Order super technology with enough hard science to convince even the most cynical skeptics. From the Philadelphia Experiment and Roswell to teleportation and time travel, Sands of Time solves the mysteries that have been baffling the world for 70 years, proving that all we have come to accept as reality is wrong. Sands of Time by award-winning author Sean David Morton, available exclusively as a signed first edition hardback only at StrangeUniverseRadio.com. Read this fantastic book and never be the same.
Yo, what's up? Check this out.
The voice of the revolution. American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Your frequency is ascending with Strange Universe Radio, the most popular internet program in the galaxy. Weeknight, 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific time with your host, Sean David Morton.
Damn, a big old finger in the big fat face of scumbaggery individuals that might sit down in the chairs of the Oval Office and arrange various conspiracies, various documents, and various treaties by which to make you completely interdependent, which means that you've just been led into dependence by your leaders. That's right, your leaders are not out there to empower you and give you the ability to make decisions in your own life. No, they want to burden you with responsibilities and take away the power that allows you to deal with those responsibilities. That is the relationship as I see it. And Sean was telling me over the break this Lord Acton quote. And if you'd elaborate, Sean, I'd like you to put forth this, because this is an interesting point about most things that I've found are widely known, all right? Anything that's widely known, most people know nothing about.
Well, they don't, nobody reads the rest of the quote. I mean, Lord Acton has this quote that you hear every day where people talk about that power corrupts. This is Lord Acton saying that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. But the last sentence of the quote is, and all great men are inherently bad. That's what he says. I mean, that's the last line of that quote in the speech that he gives. So, you know, not only do we miss the point that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely, but that anybody that really wants power, you know, by him saying that all great men are inherently bad, that anybody that literally wants the power is going to be corrupted simply because they want the power in the first place. I mean, if you look at, I mean, I have one interesting theory. If you look at the 20th century, name a great man in the 20th century that never killed anybody. Think about it. It's hard to do. If you name a great man, a great leader, a person who was a true innovator. And
what about John Lennon?
Okay, there's one, I guess, from a musical side. He's a great man. I would say as far as Well, my guy for the greatest guy in the 20th century, I think, who never killed anybody would probably be Walt Disney. The reason I say that.
Let's have a look. Well, technically, he did kill Bambi's mother.
Oh, wow. Well, okay. That is true. And
the father or mother of every single character in a Disney movie.
This is true. Yeah. But fairy tales are like that. You know, fairy tales are actually kind of dark like that. But if you look at, Walt Disney, what he did, I mean, the guy, you know, for 66 years old and the fact that he died with 87 Oscars, I mean, he changed the entertainment business as we know it. He changed he changed the film business. He continues to this day. He's got a legacy that lives on that I think is all about, you know, it's all about innovation and making people happy and bringing families together and all that. You could probably go for Tesla as well. Nikola Tesla. I think Edison may have, as George Carlin says, if you can't beat him, arrange to have somebody beat them for you. I think there's a few.
Well, see, that would actually be another person I'd add to the list of great men in the 20th century who haven't killed nobody. George Carlin. Bill Hicks.
Great man. Yes, exactly. I'm talking about people who are like, you know, I mean, movers and shakers who shape civilization, shape society. Got a lot of actors, you know, you've got a lot of musicians like John Lennon or George Carlin or, you know, whomever. But, you know, in terms of guys like Tesla, you know, great inventors, I guess you would talk about. Anyway, that's the Lord Acton quote is just inherently that anybody that, you know, even the Bible talks about it, that anybody really wants power is not to be trusted. And there's one story that I like to tell is that the great prophet Samuel is approached by the Israelites, and the Israelites say, well, we want a king. And Samuel says, well, why? Why do you want a king? And they said, well, we want to be like the Philistines. And he says, but you're not like the Philistines. You have a beautiful system of government. And what he pointed out to them is that if the law is written properly, you don't need politicians. You don't need a bureaucracy. All you need is judges to properly carry out the law. And theoretically, if God has written the law, then why do you need a bunch of politicians to get together to change the law? Because all it's really about, and this is another argument for only people that actually own property being able to vote, is all politicians do is take property away from one people and give it to somebody else. And, you know, it, at the core of what they do, if you look at the United States specifically, or even, you know, New Zealand, you know, these socialist economies are 50% of our budget goes to supposedly the military, which is a form of middle class welfare, and the other and 5% of the budget goes to run the entire government. It only takes 5% to pay everybody, to pay, you know, Congress, to basically make the federal government go, takes 5% of the budget, and the rest of that is all funding that is dedicated. The 45% of it is all dedicated to taking money away from one group of people that earned it and giving it to another group of people that didn't. So if you look at it from that perspective, of the, you know, the and
that's actually the cheapest way of gaining wealth is to steal it.
Again, your
return on profit basically is enormous when you steal. And I think that's kind of how most empires are built, whether they be personal empires or proper empires. They just basically invade, take, kill, steal in order to grow.
Well, maybe this should be an addendum to the Lord Acton quote, is that not only is it that all great men are inherently bad, but that no great fortune exists without the commission of some great crime. And one of the things that I've pointed out to people over—
Many great crimes.
Yeah, exactly. But what I pointed out to people is that there is no politician in the world today that they don't have something on, that they don't have at the end of a leash that hasn't committed some great crime, that the people that hold the end of his leash or, you know, are the hand up the puppet, if you will, you know, don't know how to pull his strings. And what I started out the conversation talking about is that, you know, Barack Obama is exactly the right person, exactly the right time for exactly what it is they want to do. There's a reason why he's undocumented. There's a reason why he doesn't have papers. Let's go back to the biblical aspect again. Here you have Samuel, and the Israelites come to him and they say, we want a king. And they say, well, why? And he says, because we want to be like the Philistines. And he says, well, you're not like the Philistines. You have a great system of government. It's all broken up. You basically have a republic. It's a perfect republic because it's ruled by law. It's divided into 12 tribes. And nobody has a central core power structure. And so Samuel goes to God. I mean, it's all metaphorical, right? But he goes to God and he says, what do you think? And God says, all right, fine. They want a king that bad? Give him a king. And watch what happens. So a king was really a punishment to the Israelis, and they get Saul. And Saul goes out of his mind, and then a bunch of Benjaminites rape a bunch of Judean women, and it's taken away from Saul and given to David. And then David gets in there, and all David's doing is boofing these women, and he's punished. He's punished by having to be at war for the rest of his life. So in essence, Samuel goes on for about seven verses or so, quite some time, to say that when you have a king, you have a central aristocracy, you have a bureaucracy, you have one man that's responsible for your karma, to take people to war, that basically everything bad that goes along with a big government bureaucracy is what's going to happen.
That's what I don't like about bureaucracy, is basically it's there to do the job that nobody wants to do, but in pure fact that nobody does that job and it's only a bureaucracy doing it, whenever bad things happen to them, they can't deal with it, and because they're completely dependent on the bureaucrats now, who know all this stuff that they never wanted to do in the first place.
Well, when the Civil War occurred, this is the book of Jeremiah, between Jeremiah and Lamentations, when the Civil War happens, you basically have a war between the 10 tribes in the north versus the 3 tribes in the south, which is the tribe of Judah, Benjamin, and Levi. So these tribes, the 10 tribes, by the way, disappear after the Civil War. And they go up to the Caucasus Mountains, and many people believe that they become the various Caucasoid and or Northern European races, the Goths, the Visigoths, the Gauls, the Celts, the Anglo-Saxons, the Britons, and spread out across the world. But they left the 3 tribes behind. The reason they left them behind, they said, well, you guys wait here. You know, we're going to go over there and over that hill. You guys wait right here. It's sort of like Douglas Adams' Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, where, they pretend that Earth is going to be destroyed, so they can put all the bureaucrats, middle managers, and hairdressers on a rocket ship that they blast to the stars. And they're like, what do you mean Earth wasn't destroyed? And of course, they land on a planet where they can't do anything. They all die out because nobody actually has any skills to do anything. But the point of this is that the tribe of Judah were the tribe of Judah was the king and the scepter. The tribe of Benjamin basically were the money changers. And the tribe of Levi were was the judicial system. So they left behind the bankers, the lawyers, and the bureaucrats, and they're the ones that the Bible is basically pretty much about after the Book of Lamentations. Now to move forward to this, if you're looking at the great crime aspect, I mean, part of the, and this is kind of for the United States, but because I have a theory, the United States really didn't come together until about. Until they finally signed the Bill of Rights and they got off the Articles of Confederation, which was a big mistake, I might add, which then led to the Civil War and Washington's presidency in 1789. And then so we didn't really sign the Bill of Rights until kind of fall, spring of 1791-92. So there's a 200-year cycle to nations of 50 years each. And you have about, I don't know why we're going to get off into this, but you have 50 years to obey certain biblical laws, certain jubilees, if you will. And after 200 years, the lifespan of a nation is to collapse. And you go into a 50-year period that's called the fifth cycle of discipline. The fifth cycle of discipline basically has these 7-year periods again, in which basically your nation state is destroyed. And one of the promises is given that Yahweh will send foreigners to rule over you. And there is no better application of that but the fact that Barack Obama, who is the ultimate foreigner, and now the fact that the United States and New Zealand, I might add, and big chunks of Australia are getting bought out by everything from the Chinese, the Japanese, all these various consortiums. So if you – and let's go back around full circle here. That if you look at the promise of 2012, and if you look at the Mayans and the Hopis, very much they say that this world, that things are going to get very, very bad and very weird in about the next 6 months. But 2012 – is the starting gun. The December 21st date is just what I'm trying to tell people. It's just the beginning. It's literally like we've got 2012, maybe 2013, and maybe 2014 to kind of get things together until everything really jumps off a cliff. And
you don't believe that on December 21st, 2012, we're all just going to die, right?
Not only do I not believe that, but the Mayan calendar really doesn't intimate that either. There's a couple of things. It is that we're shifting ages. So we're going from and there is in the prophecy, I mean, that you can't really avoid it. The very last plate of the calendar shows this big sky dragon, and the sky dragon is vomiting out water, this kind of this blue water with kind of brackish black streaks through it. It literally looks like it's been polluted by oil. There's two what look like magicians, if you will. One's black and one's kind of red with this big evil-looking parrot called Seven Macaw. And it is interesting because there's these two nipples on the underbelly of the dragon. This is the very last plate of the Dresden Codex of the Mayan calendar. And the two nipples on the underbelly of the serpent are basically the Venus transit and a solar eclipse. The question is, which solar eclipse? We've had a very interesting annular solar eclipse here in North America, which happened on May 20th. And then 16 days later, and there were a whole series of crop circles, by the way, that appeared that were pointing to the 16-day period of time being revolutionary in terms of spirit and how people's consciousness was going to change between the Venus transit, which was June 5th and 6th, and then the eclipse. But there's one more eclipse, interestingly enough, that does occur over the top of Australia, and this is on November 13th, and it's not seen anywhere on Earth with the exception of this one island. It actually starts at the top of Australia, moves through the Pacific Ocean, and it can only be seen from one island, which is called San Juan de Frisco. There's a body of evidence that shows that Coquitlam, who was the last of the great Mayan kings, he ruled for something like 46 years, but nobody's been able to find his tomb. And there's a whole big Discovery Channel special that Coquitlam, that he had his body moved to this island off the coast of Chile, and that they've now found his tomb there along with some statues and some crazy things, because it's the only place on Earth you'll actually be able to see not only the Venus transit on the 5th and 6th of June, but this upcoming November 13th eclipse. And Coquitlam believed that if his spirit could witness these two events, that he would reincarnate somehow as the Lord of Time. Now, it does end with earthquakes, tidal waves. I mean, this is how the end of the age goes. And we're completing a 26,000-year cycle of a rotation of the precession of the equinoxes. Now, the true age of Aquarius doesn't really begin when the sun actually rises in the constellation of Aquarius. It doesn't really begin until about 2489 AD or something like that. But but what it does show is that there's going to be a lot of major changes in regards to the ending of something about this age. Now, even if you look at, I spoke to my buddy Cliff High, who runs the website Half Past Human, last night, and you know, Cliff and I were chatting away about this, the fact that his WebBot program just doesn't work after about March or April of next year, that there's about a 3-month space that's just called the silence, where you can't project anything, and it's getting to the point of where already they've stopped giving crop reports for next year. They've stopped reporting what grain gains are going to be. I mean, it's a very strange thing. There's a lot of people even saying you should borrow a bunch of money now. I mean, you should literally, if you get a loan on your house or $1 million or whatever, get it, because you know the banks are going to be in complete chaos about 6 months from now. What the rest of the calendar does say, though, is there's one more cycle of the Pleiades, which doesn't end until 2025, which is interesting because right now the planet Pluto is moving to the sign of Capricorn, which is another reason why you've got the destruction. Every time Pluto moves through a particular sign, it's why all the destruction is happening. You've got Capricorn rules constitutions, skeletons, banking systems,
and whatnot. So let's talk about that after the break with Sean David Morton, the man so nice they named him thrice from Strange Universe Radio, which you can also find on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Back in a few minutes, ladies and gentlemen. Please join us in the chat room at TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com if you've got any questions and whatnot. Back in a sec.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
I want to tell you about something really, really cool. It is silvercoins.ag. Now, AG is the symbol for silver on the periodic table of elements. Silvercoins.ag is the new website for cheap silver coins. Silvercoins.ag automatically surfs popular online retailers for silver coin bargains based on the minute-to-minute fluctuations of the silver market. Silvercoins.ag focuses on silver purchases from $5 to $50, but of course, big junk silver bags and monster boxes are available too. Purchases can generally be done using a credit card or even PayPal, so you have multiple layers of buyer protection. Silvercoins.ag has no annoying salesmen. Silvercoins.ag has live streaming metal prices, so you don't have to refresh your browser all day long. Stop the endless web surfing for the best silver coin deals, because now you can visit and bookmark silvercoins.ag. I use it. I want all your friends to use it. You tell them Jack Blood sent you.
The Ten Commandments. Here's my problem. Why are there ten? I think the list of commandments was deliberately and artificially inflated to get it up to ten. Here's what they did. About 5,000 years ago, a bunch of religious and political hustlers got together to try to figure out how to control people, how to keep them in line. They knew people were basically stupid and would believe anything they were told, so they announced that God had given them some commandments. Up on a mountain, when no one was around, God had given them the Ten Commandments. Why ten? Why not nine or 11? I'll tell you why. Because 10 sounds official. They knew if it was 11, people wouldn't take it seriously. It's a political document artificially inflated to sell better. 10 is the basis for the decimal system. It's a decade at the top 10, the 10 most wanted, the 10 best dressed. So having 10 commandments was really a marketing decision.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Van, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding. It made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month had completely vanished.
Usually you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
You're listening to the Future of Talk. American Freedom Radio. This is American Freedom Radio.
Listen to Time for Hemp, hosted by Casper Leach. Afternoons, Monday through Friday, 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Central. Only on American Freedom Radio.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that shines out so bright that you have to wear sunglasses while listening to it on the radio. It's brighter than the sun. I'm just not that hot. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chained nation, and the sunny slave South Pacific, Fukushima irradiated, and everybody's got a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb. Pretty cool down here, man. Seriously. Except well, basically, I can't really explain it to people just how different New Zealand is from the rest of the world, because the truth is, it ain't. Have you got a lying politician scumbag who's financed by bankers in charge of your country, who has a long history of messing up other people's stuff and or has no history at all or whatever? Yeah, so do we. You've got a government passing draconian legislation, do you? Yeah, so do we. You got anybody selling you out to trade deals and bypassing your sovereignty and taking any constitutional infallible rights that you once had and ripping it all to shreds and taking it away so that some peeping Tom with a camera and a badge can spy on you in your bedroom for 3 days without a warrant for no reason whatsoever other than the fact that he wants to get his rocks off? Yeah, we got that too. That's why they call it a new world order, because they want the whole world to be exactly the same. Some overarching, monolithic, terrible, terrible place to live where everything's really expensive and all the people who have power are morons who don't have any common sense and only follow protocol. The bureaucratic mindset. Those will be the only people with any power in the future. There won't be any entrepreneurs out there creating stuff and being able to support themselves and basically being good, upright, standing citizens wanting to help out their communities. It won't exist anymore. You won't be allowed to do that without a permit. And in order to get a permit, you've got to turn yourself into a scumbag. Imagine that. Permanent history. Frack that. I'd rather start talking about it. A lot of people ask, you know, what can the average person do? Well, the average person can start talking about it. Stop shutting up. When somebody starts shoveling bleached, white, floury bread into their face, smothered with margarine that doesn't break down if you put it into an acidophilus milk yogurt mixture and shove it into the sun. It doesn't work. To sit down and just say nothing, okay? Don't be quiet, okay? Say something. Like my guest, Sean David Morton, who has basically been saying a whole lot of things for a very, very long time. And also, we wanted to kind of finance that kind of credibility aspect of you. Sean, do you have a website, don't you? It's seandavidmorton.com. And I wanted to know how actually you really got into all of this. Like, what was your upbringing like?
My dad was vice president of an aerospace. He was the public relations vice president for the aerospace company that basically put us on the moon called TRW. It was eventually bought by Northrop Grumman here. So I grew up with I grew up in the film and television industry as well because I was a kid in Southern California and I grew up with astronauts, and I have two godfathers who walked on the moon, and Gus Grissom was like, you know, a second father to me. And so growing up, my dad was affiliated with, you know, with astronauts and people in the entertainment business. My folks got divorced when I was younger. And then my stepdad, Frank Salomon, was a very wealthy Jewish businessman up in Northern California, you know, basically like owned big chunks of San Francisco. You know, so and then I grew up next to, Meg Whitman on one side, Eric Schmidt, who's the CEO of Google, on the other side. The Morgan kids from JP Morgan on the other side. And then my girlfriend was Paula Rothschild over on the other side. And there's like the fourth biggest shipping magnate in the world that live across the street. So it was a pretty bougie neighborhood that I grew up in. And of course, my mother was very politically active, and she ran for vice president of the United States in 1984 on the Populist Party ticket, back when the old Spotlight, which is now the American Free Press, actually started a new political party, called the Populist Party, which was something that was originally founded by Thomas Jefferson, because Jefferson actually founded the original Populist Party. So, you know, I grew up around, I had an opportunity to live in Egypt when I was younger, went to school there when I was a kid. We basically took months off high school, and we lived in Egypt for a period of time because my stepdad was involved in import-export, actually with the Egyptians, and they were turning to the West when Anwar Sadat took over. I was 16 years old, driving Jeeps through the streets of Beirut while the Civil War was going on, trying to get Lebanese and various people out of Lebanon to get them to Cairo, put them on boats and, you know, get them into Cairo. Went to USC, went to Stanford for summer school, then graduated from the University of Southern California with degrees in political science and a Bachelor of Fine Arts in drama and film. Got out of college, sold a script to Buck Rogers. Worked for Glenn Larson for a while and was very good friends with Gene Roddenberry, who was the creator of Star Trek, and then you know, was gave him suggestions as to what eventually became Star Trek: The Next Generation. Actually, I don't know if you're are you a Doctor Who fan by any chance?
Oh, a little bit, yeah.
Okay, well, I won't tell the story then. I was working at KCT on a documentary, and I kept trying to get KCT to actually take Doctor Who, which was a British television series there, on the American public broadcasting, and they finally took my suggestion, and actually Lionsgate brought Doctor Who over, which is what actually, you know, brought Doctor Who to the screens here. Anyway, I did. I was in the film video business. We did. We had a company that did trailers for movies. We did rock music videos for. We did a lot of stuff for Genesis, for Phil Collins, for Mike and the Mechanics, which was Mike Rutherford. So we did videos for Mike and the Mechanics, for Genesis, for Phil Collins, you know, all that. So, which was kind of fun. I got in the nightclub business. I actually owned two fast food restaurants called the Health Huts, had one of the most successful nightclubs in LA history called Vertigo that I was partners in. And, you know, one of our guys was dating Princess Stephanie and that sort of thing. We eventually wound up selling it to Prince. And, you know, I just kind of watched all my friends get destroyed by this whole fast LA lifestyle. And so in late 85, I was also one of the pioneers of remote viewing as well. Because Elizabeth Targ and I, who is Russell Targ's daughter, who was one of the was really the guy that came up with remote viewing at Stanford University, Elizabeth and I had worked on all the protocols for what we called the associative remote viewing, which allowed you to use remote viewing to predict roulette wheels, horse races, sporting events, things like that. So, and it beat working for a living. You know, we'd go take a couple $1,000 to Vegas, you know, quit after about $15,000, put it in the bank, pay the rent, and do other things. So, you know, in the course of that time, I'd also made a ton of money in the stock market using these techniques to, make some pretty cool cash in the markets. I bought, stock in King World Entertainment 3 months before Jeopardy, Wheel of Fortune, and Oprah went on the air. So that was a pretty big chunk of change. And after the nightclub thing kind of went bust because, you know, my pals had kind of snorted up all the money up their noses. I just thought there's got to be something more to this. So I packed a bag and a stick, rented out my house, went walkabout, wound up living in India for a while. Actually was in residence for 3 months, actually kind of running the orphanage at Dharamsala and, you know, studying in residence there at the Tibetan Library of Works and Archives. Had a meeting with the Dalai Lama. The Dalai Lama told me to go to this monastery in Nepal called Tangbache. Went to the monastery, was actually recognized as having some past life connection to the monastery. They said, you can stay as long as you want. I was there for about 8 months or so studying in the monastery and working on a lot of my remote viewing techniques because these were Black Hat Karma Kagyu monks that very much traveled the time stream. It's kind of what they do. They're literally like time lords. You sort of start this discipline with the Manatavara, which is a meditation on the crack at the beginning of time. It's very altered states kind of stuff. So, you know, and then came back and since then had... got back into doing television investigation and between 89 and 90, we did a huge investigation in the Dulce Archuleta Mesa, which actually proved it was a huge underground government facility. Then we did a documentary that I co-produced and co-directed called UFO Contactees, put together about 600 hours of footage on every contactee and abductee on the planet at the time. Along with, you know, Billy Meyer, went to Switzerland, went to Spain, went to England. You know, we're in England when the modern crop circles are being formed there. That then led to my interviewing Bob Lazar, which then led to my finding, which then led to my going out to Area 51 and then getting Area 51 on the front page of the LA Times and my discovering a hilltop that looked down on the base and basically my dragging Area 51 kicking and screaming out of the shadows and, you know, putting it on TV and taking guys like Dean Devlin out there who then did the movie Independence Day. Based off some conversations and suggestions that we had, and Dean has been doing a lot of stuff that he heard on things like Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Art had a fantastic radio show that I, you know, kind of helped found. I mean, I gave him all my friends and all my people, and at one point I was the number one guest on Coast to Coast AM with a worldwide audience of about 26.4 million people. And, over the course of the 90s, I was using, I had a newsletter called, I started something called the Prophecy Research Institute, which was.
Well, you know, Sean, you've got an elaborate history, and there's more, isn't there? And you know what? It's funny. I think you're the kind of guy who doesn't like to sit around doing nothing for too long and prefers to do things that are that actually pique your interest, that are maybe a little bit of a change of scene. And when you do it brilliantly well, and everybody else wonders, man, how the hell did he do that? And you say, I don't know, I just did it. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, Sean David Morton, one more hour. And I think we might crack open the phone lines as well, ladies and gentlemen, if you're keen to call in. The number is 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. Please give us a ring in, and we'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
Funneling through smokestacks, airwaves, bandwidth, disinformation too fed. Check the labels, delete the virus, alert the masses.
In 2010, millions of people were awakened to the question of what? Now the next question that remains to be answered is, why in the world are they spraying an investigative look into one of the many agendas associated with chemtrail geoengineering programs, weather control? Why in the world are they spraying, premiering and streaming live August 18th at the three-day event, Consciousness Beyond Chemtrails Conference and Fundraiser in Los Angeles. For more info, go to www.cbclive2012.com. Why in the world are they spraying? Order your copy today at www.whyintheworldaretheyspraying.com. Watch the premiere live August 18th at the three-day event, Consciousness Beyond Chemtrails Conference and Fundraiser in Los Angeles. For more info, go to www.cbclive2012.com. Why in the world are they spraying?
And if you control the weather, you're going to control the planet. It's that simple.
As many of you know, I promote my bullion business, Drockton Bullion, on a regular basis. I created Drockton Bullion to make sure that you were prepared for the economic collapse that will shortly befall not just the United States, but literally the entire globe. As you know, silver has increased in value almost 1,000% since 2000, and gold has gone up at least 600%. Drockton Bullion specializes in helping you find everything from 90% silver coins that were minted before 1964, 0.999% pure silver rounds, silver eagles, gold bars, gold coins, and everything else that you need for your bullion needs. But more importantly, you get me, Paul Drockton, to consult with, to talk with, to help you, to guide you through the purchasing process. Totally, Drockton Bullion has made millions in sales, my friends. We know what we're doing, and we can help you.
You, as a free, beautiful, independent human being with inalienable rights, own yourself. As a result, you can do what you want with your own body and own the product of your labor. The implication is that it is morally wrong to initiate force against someone else or their property, because to do so is to violate their rights. Therefore, all human interactions should be free of force, fraud, and coercion, and people should be free to exercise their rights, limited only by respect for the rights of others. When you learned don't hit and don't steal, it wasn't unless you work for the government. When you learned thou shalt not kill, it wasn't unless your dear leader gives you a gun and a uniform and a one-way ticket to the other side of the world. Government is force, an opinion with a gun. And force is a poor substitute for persuasion. Governments frighten us into thinking we need them. But with knowledge, philosophy, and technology, we are empowering ourselves and each other to have the courage to move past the paradigm of statism and restrain government to only moral uses of force, at least until we replace it with the cooperative free market solutions that will soon render it obsolete.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in three models, a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com.
No rules, no rules, no taboo topics, no taboo topics, no fear of doom, no fear of doom. We are America. American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Two, the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the only time that a New Zealander winds up talking conspiracy theories on radio as if an American gives them the ability to. Ironically, my very special guest, Sean David Morton from SeanDavidMorton.com, has a long, would you call it a litany, like your background and stuff like that, a litany of achievements, of amazing stature, as well as quite unique?
I would call it an autohagography. How about that, Vincent? An autohagography.
An autohagography. That sounds like a really, really fancy dessert. It'd be right next to the creme brulee.
I told you nobody would know what that is, but never mind. It's a... You know what that is? You know what a hagiography is?
No idea.
See, the joke doesn't work then. It's a it's an autobiography of a saint. That if somebody's a saint or a hagiography, it would be, instead of a biography, it would be called an autohagography. So, but well,
have you seen this new Prometheus movie?
I have. It sucked. It blew. Terrible.
Well, I looked into some of the other stuff about it, and there's this character called Peter Wayland, and they actually have WaylandIndustries.com that has a list of all of his achievements and all this amazing stuff that he's invented over his 100 years of life and stuff like that, like a whole background. And you read through it, it's like, whoa, 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 like a rifle that can shoot 700 miles.
It's all fake, right? It's all
for the fake movie.
I just thought
truth's stranger than fiction, because all the technology and stuff that they were talking about inventing there, like androids and super rifles and all of this other body armor and what have you, and artificial intelligence, terraforming. I was thinking, man, they probably already developed that in some deep underground military base that they've got around anyway.
That goes all the way back to a train of conversation that we never really reached the station on, which was, again, what if Jules Verne and H.G. Wells and George Orwell... And George Orwell always said that 1984 was not a warning, that it was a blueprint. He always said that. And originally the book was called 1948, and he switched the 8 and the 4 because he figured it was too soon. But everything in those books not only is coming to pass, but who's to say that they didn't tell them that this was what the plan was beforehand, or give them a preview of what the technology that was ahead was going to be. And it's and this is the perfect segue into my book, Sands of Time, which I'm hoping everybody out there will get. You can go on my website, the StrangeUniverseRadio.com website, or the SeanDavidMorton.com website. We're in the process of getting it up on Amazon. But if you understand that there's a 3 to 5 year lag on, I guess, what you would call corporate technology. Actually, well, there's consumer technology, which is all the stuff that's designed to break, all the crap that, you know, I mean, we just bought a TV for Magnavox, which we've had, you know, all of 4 months and it's already broken. And, you know, so that's all the junk that they release to the public that's designed to break, that's designed to... The minute the warranty goes out, it breaks, so you go out and buy another one. Then you have a military level of technology. Well, no, you have a corporate level of technology that's above that. That's going to be stuff that may eventually be released to consumers. So, you know, that's 3 to 5 years.
But isn't the military now hugely relying on massive corporate contractors, things of that nature?
Tough. Oh, always. I mean, we did get to them. You know, I mean, we always. Area 51 has always been, no, it's not. Yeah, it's all...
I say, what's the difference between the corporations and the military?
Isn't any. Not only is there no difference, but there's no difference anymore between government and corporations. And what y'all are railing about, which I don't quite know if the law applies the same in New Zealand as far as the United States go. But what I've been a champion of for so long is to point out to people is that there is a constitution for the republic and for the living man that is about 30 pages long. And then there is a constitution for the corporate entity, the matrix holographic being, the straw man legis, the straminius homo, the creature that they create that becomes a corporation, that because they are allowed to regulate commerce, they can do whatever they want to this corporation, which is what, you know, you and I both rail about on the radio. All the things that they're doing, not really to us, but to the corporate fiction they've created for us with our name in all capital letters and with our birth certificates and the money that they borrowed against us, you know, from the day we were born. And again, it's a lot different in New Zealand where you're at because you guys are all still subjects of the British Crown. There is no sovereignty. You have one sovereign, and the only sovereign there is the Queen, and she's the only one that's allowed to actually own guns and property. That supposedly changed in the United States. But now we're right back to it where there's all kinds of infringements on that and you can't really own property if they can tax it and take it away from you. So I point out to people that what you've become is a franchisee. You've become a Jack in the Box or a McDonald's or a franchisee of the feds. And you have to be able to renounce that franchise. You've got to file the paperwork that reestablishes yourself as what we call a de jure under the law rather than de facto, which is basically I've got a gun to your head, so you're going to do what I say. It's illegal. But it's all under the color of law, and all these corporations and all these governments are all set up under the United States Code. And the United States Code is the Constitution, basically, of the District of New Columbia. And you can read the State Department documents where it says it right there, which is a whole other government that the Congress actually created in the 1870s. And that's the government that's under the corporation. And once you withdraw from the corporate fiction and you present yourself as the living man, then it's a whole different conversation. It's a whole different ballgame. Then none of these federal franchises or any of these regulatory agencies that are designed to control you have any real power over you. But going all the way back to the technology aspect again, if you look at corporate technology, which is like I said, civilian technology is months ahead, corporate technology is 3 to 5 years, military technology is about 10 to 15 years ahead. And then you've got a whole other level of technology that we would call probably black world, maybe technology that might be 20, 25, you know, 30, maybe 50 years ahead of anything we've seen. Some have said even 500 years that we've never lost a technological development since the 1600s. So my book, Sands of Time, is all about a guy who had been a source of mine for about 20 years or so. And, you know, who always kind of called me out of the blue to say, well, you know, give me this heads up or that heads up, because he knew that I would protect him and that I would get on the radio and I would talk about things that were going on. But he gave me information about Area 51, about the Dulce Mesa, about a war with these extraterrestrials in Dulce, about the genetic research facilities. I mean, the whole thing. And this is a guy who was basically a top level director in the shadow government for a very long period of time. And he was involved at 51 and at Montauk with the original time travel experiments. And most of this had to do with basically the development of not only time travel, but back engineering, various alien technologies and all that. So, you know, my book, Sands of Time, 40 Years in the Shadow Government, you know, is a true story where about 2.5 years ago, I got contacted by a gang of lawyers and I went to their office being very suspicious. And they said, well, this is an estate matter. Somebody has died and they've left you or somebody has, quote, moved on and they've left you an inheritance, if you will. So I went into the office and they handed me these manuscripts that basically said this is, and it's a fictional name, but this is Dr. Ted Humphrey's notes and manuscripts of his time in the secret government working on all these projects. He thought that you would like to have them. You can do anything you want with them except use his name because he's got a living wife and daughter and there's certain people that he didn't want compromised. So after, you know, I signed all these documents and all these things, you know, swearing that I would never reveal his real name. I wrote a book based on it. It basically fictionalized, or should I say novelized nonfiction, called Sands of Time. It's becoming this gigantic cult classic. I mean, everybody that gets it says, oh, my God, you got to read this book because it describes everything that's going on behind the scenes, the entire global conspiracy, you know, how things are going down, why they went down the way they did. But that also technology, two things are going on. One, We're building a gigantic planetary defense grid, some sort of defense system, because it is their belief that after December 21st of 2012, that there are certain alignments, galactic alignments, that make it much easier for something that's very big and very bad on its way here to get here. And there's a belief in these government circles that we're looking at some kind of very malevolent extraterrestrial invasion of some kind by the latter part of this decade. The other part of this is that's really interesting is that super technology is actively being used, and this is where I disagree with, you know, our other station mate or band mate or label mate or whatever you want to call her, Carrie Cassidy. Carrie likes to deal on a stuff that really kind of scares people, and you know, you get the Alex Joneses that, you know, they're all about the fear porn and all that. And yet my take on this has been, being a person who's been able to see around a few corners and made some spectacular predictions of the future with some very, very, I mean, very, very specific hits on everything from the stock market to, political and social events in my Delphi Associates newsletter, where I put this stuff into print. And, you know, then you could hit it with a stick and you could say, look, there it is. I wrote it down, you know, ta-da, you know, you can't argue with it, which is what really pissed people off, who said, well, not only can this not be done, but they certainly didn't want me doing it. So, when I would make a prediction, I would write it down so that I wasn't just, you know, pulling stuff out of my behind. And the point of this whole thing is that with Sands of Time, they're using technology now, Vincent, to alter, what can I say? They're worried about three things. Well, actually, okay, three things. The thing number one was that beginning in 1945, we dropped a bunch of nuclear weapons on this planet. Russia, China, the United States, you know, blew up cobalt bombs, hydrogen bombs, all kinds of crazy bombs, and they knocked the planet slightly off kilter, almost like tossing a sneaker into a washing machine. And the planet literally increased the wobble of the Earth, which had the effect of, number one, slowing down the rotation of the planet, and number two, it untethered the magnetic field of the Earth from the center of the Earth. And true north and magnetic north started moving very slowly but inexorably towards each other. And,
yeah, they've been moving for a while now. Even airports in Florida had to repaint their landing fields and stuff with different coordinates because they'd all changed.
Well, December 9th of 2009. And the weird part about this is that the original report between 1945 and 1950 was called Project Nanook. And it was also known as the Flight of the Key Bird. They outfitted a B-17 bomber, and they mapped a grid in order to open up the North Pole to commercial airline travel. It was one of the great scientific achievements of the United States military for the entire century. You can rate it up there in the top five of greatest scientific achievements, to be able to come up with a way to navigate the poles without using compasses or anything electromagnetic, because of the way the poles actually function and operate. But what they noticed was, again, that true north and magnetic north were moving towards each other. Now, the RAND Corporation comes in. And years later, Hyderabad University in India, and they start doing these mock-ups and these models that are very dire, that when true north and magnetic north would meet, that you would either have in 60% of their tests, you had an electromagnetic shifting of the poles, where magnetic north and true north would then shift, which would cause massive storms, would fry everything that's connected to a ground wire, because everything has to be grounded, because everything runs at 60 cycles, even though it should be running down at the frequency of the planet, which is 7.83 hertz. And, it'd be a very bad day. Basically, civilization, as we know it, would cease to exist. Every electrical device you have would basically just fry. They would turn on you as well. They would light on fire and come after you, and, you know, all these things that the Hopi were talking about your own technology turning on you, if you will, that these things would all just start jumping up. Because they would be completely fried. Part two.
It sounds like on Transformers, they had the little cube thing and it emits a pulse and it turns the little whatever technology it is into a little deadly Decepticon to come after you.
Just like that. And then 30% of the tests, the entire planet flipped over, and you had a shift where their best guess was that the new North Pole would be somewhere around Radaya, Saudi Arabia. And in 10% of it, nothing happened, that everything just kind of readjusted. Now, here's where it gets weird. A bunch of the scum power elite, you know, bastard swine, all have a bit of a mini Bilderberg meeting, and they give Barack Obama the Nobel Peace Prize. You know, even Barack Obama's like, what? You know, okay, I get it. I'm black and I'm cool and everything, but, I haven't done anything, but I'll go get it. But, you know, really? And
even he was playing.
But everybody, well, Norway, everybody goes to Oslo, Norway, and some very weird things start happening. Then suddenly, while everybody's there, they look up in the sky, and there's this weird spiral up in the sky. You know, and you can look it up on YouTube, the Oslo spiral. This weird spiral appears in the sky. Well, this spiral, I can prove, was actually created by a baffle of gigantic satellite dishes that are known as IceCat. And IceCat is the Scandinavian version of HARP, the high-altitude auroral resonance projectors. And what they did is they created a zero-point energy vortex, for all intents and purposes, a black hole between here and the sun. Now, at the same time, you had all the power grids in Norway just go off the chart while they were powering this thing. Then you have this weird spiral in the sky. Then they blind Soho for 36 hours so that you can't see anything between here and the sun. So two things happen. One, the magnetic field of the Earth becomes untethered again. And two, the solar activity of the sun begins to be reduced, because how do you calm the sun down? You create black holes next to the sun, which then basically absorb the energy and ejecta of the planet. And that's how binary stars eat each other. Usually one goes nova and then collapses in on itself, becomes a black hole, and basically eats its twin. But what happened was, is that magnetic north, which had been marching towards true north, which everybody believed, and by the way, the reports in the 50s were saying that between 2012 and 2016, that you would see massive increases in weather anomalies, droughts, rains, hurricanes, blah, 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 all these things, which would then precede a global polar flip that humanity had to either do something about or prepare for. And then this was going to happen between 2012 and 2016. Well, back when this report was written, you know, in like the 50s, I mean, you know, when they opened Disneyland, Tomorrowland was the mystical, magical year of the future of 1986. So 2012 was really, really far away. But what happened on December 9th at the same time as that spiral is that now magnetic north is no longer moving north. Now it's moving east, and it took a hard right turn. And since then has moved something like 640 miles to the east, so that the North Pole is now heading towards Siberia. The second thing they were worried about was that the planet was actually slowing. The rotation of the planet was slowing. And the third thing they were worried about was that you would have massive readjustments to the tectonic plates, which would then create these gigantic earthquakes and tidal waves and everything else. Well, one of the things that is very interesting is that the last set of earthquakes that we've seen, and this goes all the way back to the Indonesia earthquakes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Finish your sentence, mate.
Sorry?
Can you finish your sentence?
There's a pattern to this to predict the future that we will talk about when we come back.
Indeedy doody. In just a few minutes, ladies and gentlemen. So check us out at the chat room at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Are you completely fed up with being dependent on those fat cat electricity monopolies that raise your rates again and again? Are you terrified about how you'll keep your home and family safe when a power crisis happens? 123/power.com has set up a free video presentation that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they are, incompetent lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up, and you'll be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. The video at 123slashpower.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret to slash your power bill and beat the electricity monopoly for good. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123slashpower.com and discover one weird trick to cut your power bill and protect your home. Easy to remember, 123slashpower.com. Go watch the video now before they shut it down. Again, that's 123slashpower.com.
Could it all be a bad dream or a nightmare? Based on preposterous notions and on ideas whose time should never have come, preventive war is used as a road to peace. Tolerance delivered by government guns. An empire replacing the republic. Slavery sold as liberty. Socialism to save capitalism. A government out of control. Unrestrained by the Constitution, the rule of law, or morality. Money does not grow on trees, nor does prosperity come from a government printing press or escalating deficits. A central bank that deliberately destroys the value of the currency in secrecy, without restraint, cheered on by the pseudo-capitalists of Wall Street, the military-industrial complex. The good news is the reversal is achievable through peaceful and intellectual means, and fortunately, the number of those who care are growing exponentially.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
News and information you can trust. This is American Freedom Radio. Freedom, freedom, American Freedom Radio. Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Hi, everybody. I'm Christopher Green. Make sure to tune in to Green Wave Radio every Tuesday and Thursday from 3 to 5 p.m. Central on American Freedom Radio. Hard hitting and in your face, America.
People, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone, for the times they are a-changing.
And we're back on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Welcome, everybody. Everybody in the chat room has been sticking in there basically the entire show. Pretty much nobody's left. It must be because we have such a fabulous... And I wish we could swear on this show because there'd be several words that'd be apparent. Guest, Sean David Morton, welcome back.
Swear? It's the internet. You can swear. You don't because you're a classy, intelligent guy, but you can curse all you want. The FCC doesn't control the internet. You know that.
Oh, no, but apparently it goes out on AM, FM stations, affiliates and stuff like that in the US, and if somebody calls into the FCC, see, the studio, like, that. Basically struggling to pay the bills and stuff, you know, he can't handle a lawsuit.
Yeah. No,
or at least that's been my understanding. I could be wrong, and I've been withholding unnecessarily all these years.
Okay, well, whatever. I just don't because... As John Cleese would say, there's always a better word, as he said. So, anyway. So, there you go. So, where were we? Oh, Sands of Time. Go buy Sands of Time. You guys, and I got to send you a copy of Sands of Time, too. So,
actually,
Skype me across your address, and I'll put one in the mail, too. Actually, we've got the next, we just kept running out of them. So many people are ordering the book. But it's everything you want to know, man. if you want, you know, conspiracy theory 101 about everything that went on behind the shadow government from 1962 on, from the original time travel experiments at Montauk up through Area 51, up through Dulce, up through the conflicts with the extraterrestrials, and, you know, why there was a conflict and why the Dulce Wars happened. And, you know, it's one man's personal journey through the whole behind-the-scenes shadow government and technology and all the top-secret underground bases and the jet tubes and trains and all the things that are being developed, along with the story about how his father, when he's 17 years old, his father just mysteriously disappears after doing a whole series of experiments with time travel. And even part of this Sean, was given...
Sean, is there going to be a movie? Because, oh my God, it'll be the coolest movie ever.
What we're working on now is I have a pilot for a TV series, and actually like 13 episodes. So it goes, we were actually thinking that it would be a great thing to kind of it's sort of like Mad Men meets Independence Day. So we were going to unfold this whole thing as a TV series. So you know, we'll see.
So it's like Mad Dependence Day.
Yeah, Mad Dependence Day. Right. That's funny. But I've got I've written a whole bunch of scripts. I directed a movie back in 2003 that won a bunch of awards, which was a comedy, which I should probably send you a copy of when I send you the book, called Joe Killionaire, that was actually a big hit outside the country, and we're still looking for independent distributors. But it won, you know, best picture, best director, best everything at, you know, like 15 different film festivals and all that. So, but just kind of keeping my hand in it. So, and I've got some opportunities now to be able to direct, and we've got some things going on with Animal Planet. For kind of a UFO hunter show, and I've been on Ancient Aliens. I think I've been on, like, I don't know, 15 episodes now of Ancient Aliens. Another interesting show that I did a big segment on is called the Book of Sex, I think is what it is, and it's not really what you think, but it's they wanted me to talk about, like, sexual conspiracies with the government and, you know, something called Operation Midnight Climax, which was the CIA with these safe rooms with a bunch of two-way mirrors where they would get these guys from the, like, strip clubs and all that, and then they'd juice them up on heroin, on LSD, and watch them have sex with hookers. And this was making up for something like 20% of the CIA's budget for a period of time, along with weaponized pheromones, where what later became known as the gay bomb, that you could actually drop these weaponized pheromones on apparently other troops and, you know, made them all gay for each
other. Well, really. You can make a whole city fabulous.
Movie about that. There was a true project, and they made a movie about it called The Pink Platoon. And I suppose if you drop these on the opposite troops, you know, when you approach them and say surrender, not only do they surrender with jazz hands, but they break out into chorus line. So anyway, so that's kind of fun things going on. And then something else that's going on for another H2 thing. It's all about Countdown to Apocalypse and Beyond 2012. So, you know, just those kind of things. And Sands of Time, it's been called, you know, epic, sweeping, a masterpiece, you know, 5 stars, better than anything that James Patterson or Dan Brown's have written. And it's like the third book. My first two books were kind of a chronology. The first one was Black Seraph, which was a Vatican spy novel that was all about a guy who's a Jesuit who works as a spy for the Vatican, who's unraveling a plot to kill the Pope to keep Nazis from actually taking over the Vatican, which is exactly what happened, by the way. The Nazis took over when Ratzinger became Pope Benedict, and, you know, so we now have the first Nazi Pope. So that was the whole inner core of the old Gestapo, if you will, taking over the Vatican. And then book two, same character, Father Dominic Lindquist, although I basically took all of the prophecies of Nostradamus and a lot of the biblical stuff and put it together as to what would happen if the Muslim prophecies actually came true of what they call the 12th Iman that's been predicted by the Quran. This 12th Iman would be a guy who would find the Book of Truth from the 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th centuries, unite Islam together, and what would happen if you had one holy man who appeared to then unite Islam and then, you know, and then wage a war against Europe. I think much of U.S. foreign policy over the last few years has literally been driven by doing everything that they can do to basically dissolve or balkanize Islam, so exactly that sort of thing doesn't happen. So it's the response of the Catholic Church and my guy understanding it's a whole world conspiracy behind this. So that's what the Dark Prophet's all about. It's all about the third great Antichrist and predicts a lot of weird stuff, man. I wrote the book back in 2009, and everything from a scene I had in the book about a fruit seller lighting himself on fire in Indonesia, in Tunisia, which then topples the government, which is exactly what happened a few years later. And then Gaddafi goes, then Mubarak goes, and every single one of these governments kind of collapses, which is also very strange.
Is this kind of why they're so good at shaping and social engineering? Is because all the things that are people's fantasies and all the things that are people's realities or their perceived realities or whatever are all part of the same overarching control grid. So no matter how people choose to evolve or whatever, they're inexorably pushed in one direction.
Well, time is, you know, again, with what's going on in the Middle East, I mean, I'll make the outrageous statement that Barack Obama is basically an Islamo-fascist, and he is the greatest agent the Saudi, I mean, if you believe in the bunkum that it was a bunch of Arabs in caves with cell phones that somehow knocked down the World Trade Centers as some kind of great conspiracy, you know, for Islam to take over America, Barack Obama is the culmination of the success of that conspiracy, because you've got a guy who's a Muslim Wahhabi, who's been backed by the Saudi Arabians from Jump Street, who has now instituted a radical Islamo-fascist agenda in which he is backing Al-Qaeda and backing Hamas and backing all of these radical – I mean, if you'll notice everything that he's done, including the toppling of Assad in Syria, everything he's done has been to destroy stable, Western-friendly, secular Muslim governments – and install radical Muslims every step of the way. And, you know, Syria is the next step behind that. People don't realize that Syria is the big powder keg right now. You've got Russia, China, the United States, everybody facing off over Syria, because the Pope, the Russian Pope has said to Vladimir Putin that Syria cannot fall, that if Syria goes and the secular government of Syria is wiped out, that 16 million Christians, mostly Coptics, I might add, will be wiped out. And that's one of the reasons why the Russians are backing that. And and of course, the Israelis want the – I don't know why they want the collapse of Syria, but –
Well, the Israelis, you know, I've just found foreign policy to just be sheer madness.
Pretty much.
Sheer violent madness, you know.
But there's a method to it, and the method to that madness is what they call Yitzhak Israel. And Yitzhak Israel is about greater Israel. And their belief is, their prophecy is that if Israel controls all of the original land of Canaan, the original land that was promised to Moses by God in the Old Testament, that somehow their version of the Messiah is going to return. Now, I might point out that they did not accept Jesus as a Messiah, but they did accept Rabbi Kokhba in about 148 AD, and Kokhba did everything the Messiah was supposed to do. He kicked out the Romans. He ruled Jerusalem as a true Jewish state up until the Romans said, enough of this. And they sent their legions in and just all wiped them out, which is what then led to Masada and that whole thing, you know, that whole deal. So it's so their version of it is, and by the way, they never, ever controlled all the lands promised to them by God. Even under Solomon, if Solomon even existed, they didn't rule all the lands of Canaan, because they include most of Egypt and Syria and Jordan and Libya and, you know, all these areas. But if they can get their, you know, their butt boy, the United States, their slave, to do all the dirty work for them, which is exactly what's been going on, and carry out the Wolfowitz doctrine. And, you know, Paul Wolfowitz made it very clear, and General Wesley Clark said this like 6 months ago. Wolfowitz met with them in 92, and he said the job of the United States military is no longer to win military conflicts or battles. The job of the United States military is to create chaos. It is our job to create chaos. Anytime there is a coalition being formed against the United States, our job is to go in and screw it up. Just find some way to get them all fight and balkanize the whole thing so that everybody's at war, so that, you know, Big Papa of the United States has to come in and take away everybody's Tonka trucks and, you know, okay, kids, you know, calm down. You know, Daddy thinks you're all pretty. You know, that sort of thing. So it's and, you know, and that's what our foreign policy has been. And, you know, the British, at least when they took over a country, they ruled it for a while, and they made it better. They were brilliant at establishing schools, banking systems, government, civilization. The United States, we go in, we blow everything up, and we drop our pants and take a big dump over it, you know, over everything by the time we leave.
Then, and then leave them with a few McDonald's.
Exactly. And you can't even say in your wildest imagination that the million or so Iraqis we killed you know, at the end of the war, destroying their entire infrastructure, is any better than the some 19,000 people that Saddam Hussein put down, conquering the country in a series of riots and civil wars and whatever else. You know, we're way worse than anything that they had. But that
how it stacks up? 19,000 death count. Oh my God, he's a bad dictator. Let's kill a million people. That's kind of how it breaks down, doesn't it? It just doesn't stack up. Of course it doesn't, because, you know, it's not the real reason they're in there.
Well, Bush was given permission by the Bilderbergers. Your war is going to last 6 weeks. You're going to take out Saddam, and you're going to go. That was the agreement. That was at the Bilderberg Conference in May, I think, of 2002, when they were going at it the next year. And the Bushes were like, well, it's personal, and he tried to kill my daddy, and it's all, you know, it's, you know, he needs killing and all that stuff. And the Bilderbergers went, okay, you can go in for 6 weeks, just take out Saddam, then you're going to go. And George Soros is the one who stormed out of that meeting and said, you guys have no idea what you're doing. This is ridiculous. They can't be trusted. This is the camel's nose under the tent. You have no idea what's about ready to happen. And by the way, Soros then stormed out of that meeting. And with $6 million of his own money, he set up the Air America radio network, which is complete crap. It all went broke because you can't defend that political philosophy on the radio. You just can't do it because it's stupid. It's just, you know, the whole, quote, liberal, you know, let's let the government look down your pants and disempower you and let the government do everything. You can't defend it from a population, especially when you're radio talk show hosts like us that are actually dealing with the public. They'll slice you to pieces. But you can do it on TV. You can be Rachel Maddow or The Ed Show or whatever else. Because you can just say whatever you want. Nobody argues with you. So, but what happened was Bush thought he was going to be the big hero. Going to go in, take out Saddam, 6 weeks, bada bing, bada bang, bada boom, going to be done. And then Darth Cheney came in and said, that's not the way it's going to be. What's going to happen is, you know, we control Mesopotamia. We control all of Asia Minor for the rest of the next century. That's how it's going to be. And Cheney was the one that said, nope, we're staying. And, you know, hence foreign policy today. And, of course, we went into Afghanistan. Because, you know, the Afghans in the spring of 2001 decided to burn the poppy fields. You take $60 billion cash out of the world market, people notice. And we went in there and said, you better replant those poppy fields. And they said, no. And then they said, well, okay, I'll tell you what. We got a pipeline that has to go through Afghanistan from Unocal. You let us build the pipeline and we'll let you keep the money we gave you to replant the poppy fields that you didn't use to build roads and schools. And they're like, no, thank you, great Satan. You know, we don't want your pipeline either. And they said, we'll offer you a shower of gold or a carpet of bombs. And this was August 1st, I think it was, of 2001. And they said, nope, we don't want your pipeline either. And we started massing troops in Pakistan. 9/11 then happened, you know, just a little bit more than a month later. And boom, you know, we were in Afghanistan taking out these guys, basically, you know, hunting for supposedly Osama bin Laden.
I remember on the day of 9/11 when I was watching it, that on that very same day, there were these explosions in Afghanistan being reported adjacent to the 9/11 attacks and all of that kind of stuff. And it was just kind of like from day dot, they're saying, let's go into Afghanistan. Just look over there. Look, there's explosions there. There's explosions here. There's a connection.
And we used all kinds of earthquake technology as well, basically ELF technology. There was all kinds of earthquakes in Afghanistan because we were collapsing the cave systems. We were actually using these thumpers that can actually generate basically weaponized earthquakes to basically collapse everything. So again, in the global scenario, I know we've got a lot of different threads here. I want to kind of wrap up. So if you look at it from that point of view, the political scenario, what you're seeing happen to the United States is exactly. What happened to the Soviet Union. I mean, you know, bada bing, bada bang. It's like a blueprint was put in place.
First we tricked the Soviet Union, and then we go to break. We'll get back into this after the show, ladies, after the break. Sorry. One more segment left in it. It's never long enough, is it? We'll be right back, folks.
In 2010, millions of people were awakened to the question of what?
Now the next question that remains to be answered is, why in the world are they spraying an investigative look into one of the many agendas associated with chemtrail geoengineering programs, weather control? Why in the world are they spraying? Premiering and streaming live August 18th at the three-day event, Consciousness Beyond Chemtrails Conference and Fundraiser in Los Angeles. For more info, go to www.cbclive2012.com. Why in the world are they spraying? Order your copy today at www.whyintheworldaretheyspraying.com. Watch the premiere live August 18th at the three-day event, Consciousness Beyond Chemtrails Conference and Fundraiser in Los Angeles. For more info, go to www.cbclive2012.com. Why in the world are they spraying?
And if you control the weather, you're going to control the planet. It's that simple.
I want to tell you about something really, really cool. It is silvercoins.ag. Now, AG is the symbol for silver on the periodic table of elements. Silvercoins.ag is the new website for cheap silver coins. Silvercoins.ag automatically surfs popular online retailers for silver coin bargains based on the minute-to-minute fluctuations of the silver market. Silvercoins.ag focuses on silver purchases from $5 to $50, but of course, big junk silver bags and monster boxes are available too. Purchases can generally be done using a credit card or even PayPal, so you have multiple layers of buyer protection. Silvercoins.ag has no annoying salesmen. Silvercoins.ag has live streaming metal prices, so you don't have to refresh your browser all day long. Stop the endless web surfing for the best silver coin deals, because now you can visit and bookmark silvercoins.ag. I use it. I want all your friends to use it. You tell them Jack Blood sent you.
Assassination. You know what's interesting about assassination? Well, not only does it change those popularity polls in a big hurry, but it's also interesting to notice who it is we assassinate. You ever notice who it is? Stop to think of who it is we kill. It's always people who've told us to live together in harmony and try to love one another. Jesus, Gandhi, Lincoln, John Kennedy, Bobby Kennedy, Martin Luther King, Medgar Evers, Malcolm X, John Lennon. They all said, try to live together peacefully. Bam! Right in the head. Apparently we're not ready for that. Yeah, that's difficult behavior for us. We're too busy thinking around, sitting around trying to think up ways to kill each other. Here's one we came up with. It's efficient, too. Genocide. You know? Killing large numbers of people simply because they don't look like you, they don't talk like you, and they don't have the same kind of hats you do. You ever notice that anytime you see two groups of people who really hate each other, chances are good they're wearing different kind of hats. Keep an eye on that. It might be important.
Critics and fans alike are calling the latest book by Sean David Morton, Sands of Time, amazing. Five stars. A soaring adventure. Better than anything by Dan Brown and James Patterson by far. A sweeping, epic masterpiece. Incredible true story of Dr. Ted Humphrey and his involvement with Area 51, the Dulce Wars, the Montauk Project, and his meteoric rise to become head of an all-powerful shadow government engaged in a desperate, above-top-secret race against time to save the world. Sands of Time is truly remarkable, a rare and precious look behind the curtain of New World Order super technology with enough hard science to convince even the most cynical skeptics. From the Philadelphia Experiment and Roswell to teleportation and time travel, Sands of Time solves the mysteries that have been baffling the world for 70 years, proving that all we have come to accept as reality is wrong. Sands of Time by award-winning author Sean David Morton, available exclusively as a signed first edition hardback only at StrangeUniverseRadio.com. Read this fantastic book and never be the same.
Welcome to the world's meeting place. American.
It's practically narcotic.
Freedom.
Oh, yes. I like very much.
Radio.
You're an American institution.
American Freedom Radio.
Your daily dose of conspiracy and comedy is the Vinnie Eastwood Show. In a world so full of madness and chaos, don't lose your sense of humor or you'll go friggin' nuts. Weekdays, 5 to 7 Central on American Freedom Radio.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen.
To the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com from the deep down underground base nestled within the bosom of Brooklyn.
welcome back also to my very special guest, the man so nice they named him thrice, who wrote The Sands of Time, quite literally, Sean David Morton. SeanDavidMorton.com.
Hi.
Now, last question that we have for the guests. You know how sometimes people self-censor? I mean, this might be an inappropriate question for you, Sean, maybe. But so occasionally people will self-censor a little bit. You know, they know some really, really fracked up Shiite Muslim, and they don't talk about it because they know that people will look at them sideways and go, what the frick? But I think you're kind of used to that. But for some reason or another, there's certain things that we just don't talk about. Because it might be political, or we have something to risk, or the audience might not comprehend us, or the judge, or the host of the show that we're on might kind of judge us a little bit. But here's the place where I like to give people the opportunity, like yourself, an audience that will comprehend you, and a host that will not judge you, so you can say exactly whatever you want.
Okay, I thought that's what I've been doing this whole time, but thank you for that space. I appreciate that a lot. So what do you want me to do? I mean, let me wrap up. Okay, Sands of Time. Sands of Time, which is basically book one and what's supposed to be kind of a three-part trilogy, is about everything behind the scenes as far as the secret government, as far as the development of time travel, and in essence, the overdriving point of history that there's something very big and very nasty that doesn't like us, that's kind of on its way here, that the governments of the world have betrayed us and sort of sold us out to whoever this is. Part two. That, yes, they know all about the Mayan prophecies, about the earthquakes, about the solar flares. I've been talking about that the sun was the last big thing that they had to worry about. That, you know, number one, they were concerned about the magnetic north and true north meeting. That's now been fixed. That's now it's heading towards Siberia. So that's cool. The next thing was tectonic shifts and movements. And Cornell University put out a paper last year that they called the God Code in April of 2011. And one of the things that they actually tracked, and I'll say this just very fast because we're running out of time, one of the things that they tracked was time we view as a circular illusion in base 12. So everything's based on 12s and 6s, 60 seconds, 60 minutes, 12 hours, 24 hours, you know, whatever, like basketball shot clocks, if you will. But if you then take 60 and times 60 by the value of pi, which is 3.14, you come out with 188.4. It is interesting that Greenwich Mean Time in England was actually established, the demarcation lines between the East and West, in 1884. If you now look at a series of earthquakes, and you can trace this pattern all the way back to the Demattard earthquake in the United States, but more recently to the earthquakes in Indonesia, then the earthquake in Fiji, and then let me just point out the earthquake in Fiji then was 188 days later. You had the Bio earthquake in Chile, which was an 8.8 earthquake, which altered the axis of the Earth by almost 5 inches. Then you had and also readjusted the tectonic platelets there in the Peruvian Mountains and the Nazca platelet. Then 188 days later, you had the Christchurch earthquakes in New Zealand. Not a big quake, but it was very shallow.
Oh, yes. We had so much recorded harp activity that day, like you wouldn't believe. See?
Well, again, there's not only a natural pattern, but now that they understand the grid and the natural pattern, they basically just amp up the pattern. And 188 days later, actually, you know, you can count them on your calendar, 188 days later, you had the Fukushima earthquake. Fukushima, again, kind of an interesting anomaly because you have supposedly a 9.2 earthquake that then alters, again, the axial nodal point of the planet by 6.5 inches that then actually – and all of these earthquakes actually have the effect of speeding the planet up. In other words, they're directly affecting the rotation of the Earth. But Fukushima,
it's kind of like playing swing ball, you know? It keeps going round, but you've got to hit it as it's on its way around to make it go faster.
Yeah, exactly. So that's exactly right. You hit it right on the head. So that's what they're doing. So now the rotation of the planet's being fixed, the axial point. I think what's happening is that when we align with the center of the galaxy, and we did have an alignment in 98, 99, there was another alignment that occurred, and there was a wobble of the Earth's motion of the axis point so that they know that this point in space, whatever's going on when the sun and the Earth aligns with this guff, with this this huge cosmic vagina, if you will, of the center of the galaxy, this light all across black holes, something happens here. And I think what they're doing, I mean, this is just my theory, it's not like they're picking up the phone telling me their diabolical plans, but everything I've watched as far as them applying the super technology has to do with them fixing things. I mean, it has to do with them fixing the Earth. I mean, you can even trace this to the oil spill in the Gulf as to why they let it just bleed month after month after month after month, because they were basically kind of lancing a boil on the basketball, if you will, that was directly affecting the rotation of the planet. So all of these things have to do with the rotation of the Earth, and Fukushima then relieved a lot of pressure on the Cascadia fault line. So you and I are the gods of the world, and we're looking at this going, okay, we trigger an earthquake in northern Japan, which relieves the pressure on the southern part of the fault line, which means now we have 15,000 people that get killed in an agricultural area. By the way, not a single building was knocked down by a 9.2 earthquake, which nobody seems to be able to explain. All the damage that was done was done by the tidal wave that was actually coming in. People were standing on top of buildings watching the tidal wave coming in. What? That doesn't make any sense as far as an earthquake goes, but that's a whole other topic. But you kill 15,000 people as opposed to now you save Tokyo, Osaka. Now you're saving millions of lives technically and a multi-trillion-dollar economy. And at the same time, you're relieving pressure on the Pacific Northwest, which means now you don't have massive earthquakes and volcanoes and everything else in Vancouver, Victoria, Seattle, Portland. And by the way, then the next quake that was supposed to happen, and there's an error of about 11 to 15 days, occurred, interesting enough, two quakes, one in Colorado and another one in Virginia, which actually split the Washington Monument. But that was that was right on that line. And then the very next quake, the schedule for the next quake, where they had predicted that there was going to be a 7.5 earthquake on the San Andreas Fault, and everybody was thinking it was going to be San Francisco or Los Angeles. It was supposed to be for March 22nd of last year. Well, it hit on March 20th in Mexico at the bottom of the San Andreas Fault, which now relieves the pressure on it coming up through California. And not only that, but the Mexicans had all these warnings. It was National Earthquake Preparedness Day, and they said March 20th was going to be the day they were all going to be prepared. So they had everybody out of the schools, everybody out of the hospitals, and the earthquake actually hit at about 10 or 11 o'clock that day, and there were only six casualties because they had signs all over Mexico preparing for the quake, which is interesting. So if that's the case, if my theory is correct, this is what we're looking at. We're looking at the next massive earthquake to occur, which is going to be September 27th. Don't quite know where it's going to be, but it'll probably be somewhere in the United States or along a line between Japan and through the U.S. And then the next big quake after that will be sometime in March of 2013. We have not only the galactic alignments that are occurring with the sun and our planet with the center of the galaxy, but there's a theory that there's another entity out there which is called Nemesis, not Nibiru, not the 10th planet or anything like that, but a dead dwarf star, which is kind of like the twin of Earth, which we will then align with at some time between February, March, April of 2013. The biggest thing again is that this age of the 26,000 years ends with floods and earthquakes and all that, and we now enter another age of ether. And the one last thing in the Mayan calendar that's interesting is they found another stele of the calendar, which now tells you that the Earth is going to go on until approximately the year 4,000 or so, 4,700 AD or something, which now brings it into line with the prophecies of the predictions of the Great Pyramid of Giza. And interestingly enough, the Great Pyramid of Giza predicts that the next incarnation of the Messiah, it predicted Christ as being Buddha as the first of the great messiahs. They said Moses was kind of a composite character. Buddha as the first great messiah, Christ is the central messiah, but that the next messiah is going to incarnate, according to time coding of the pyramid, sometime in, the date given is October 31st of 2039, and now we actually have a stele from the Mayan calendar that says that the incarnation, the female incarnation of Quetzalcoatl, will return with her children, that the spirit manifested beginning on May 20th with the eclipse, but that Quetzalcoatl finally takes physical form sometime in 2039. So all these various prophecies are coming together to drive us towards the Mayan core synthesis of what this whole next age is about, which is all is one, life has purpose, God is love. That means that we're biologically connected to each other, we're chemically connected to the Earth, and we're atomically connected to the entire universe. If life really does have purpose, then that means no matter how many terrible, horrible, awful things you've gone through throughout your life, it's brought you to the exact right point in time at the exact proper and perfect moment in history to be the hero that you're supposed to be. And if God really is love, then that means the prima mobile of the entire universe is for the greatest and highest good of everyone and every being within that universe. And that's
so basically, things are going to be all right in the end.
not only that, but, you know, entering the age of Ether, you know, we've got this last phase. We've got about 13 years left of really bad stuff, which is when the final rotation of the Pleiades up until about 2025, when Pluto finally moves in Aquarius. I'm not saying it's going to be great, but there is three paths here. There's one group of people in the pit that are going to be destroyed because they can't handle the new energies coming in. There's the material world where those people are going to lose a lot of their junk. And then there's the people that are moving towards ascension. And those people ascending are not quite going to be that affected by by a lot of the chaos and a lot of things going on. So there seems to be three patterns of evolution described by the Great Pyramid of Giza and by the Mayan prophecies and codexes as well. So it has more to do with the evolution of the planet. It has more to do with it, with our being a galactic brain, if you will, where all of us are the cells within that brain that are moving to the next level. And it's the end of duality, where the right and left-hand sides of the brain are male and female, finally come together to bring us ultimate bliss.
Well, for Flux's sake, thank Frank for that. Because you know what, Sean? I think it'll be great one day if you woke up, even if it's 13 years from now, and you know, man, we don't really have to worry about all this crap anymore. That'd be fabulous, wouldn't it? But, you know, whichever happens, it ain't over till the fat lady sings. And so I ain't going to stop doing what I'm doing. I ain't going to stop living until I'm not alive anymore. And I hope we should all live our lives that way. Thanks so much for your time here. And like they say in the movie 2012, I wish we had more time. See you later, ladies and gentlemen. Check out the archives at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.